All right. Well, I want to share with you Psalm 139 as we begin a new year tomorrow. Psalm 139. So if you have your Bible, you can open up there. Next week, I'm going to begin a new series called Sorting It All Out. Sorting It All Out, Making Relationships Right. And this, with Mark Gunger coming in January, a new series starting, we're going to get our lives, we're going to get some good help when it comes to all of our relationships. And by the way, the series starting next week is going to be for everybody. There'll be principles about relationships. It's not a particular like a marriage series or anything like that. It's going to be really principles from the scripture on how to have better relationships, because we need teaching from God's word regarding that. So I'm very excited about doing that starting next week. But before we move into the new year, I want to give you Psalm 139. And it reads like this, written by King David, who was the second king over God's people in the Old Testament. He was a psalmist. He was an artist, guitar player, harp player. I mean, he was quite artistic, King David was. And he writes Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you were there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. For you form my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this passage, and I pray that you will now open our hearts and our minds to hear from you as we enter a new year with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So using Psalm 139 now, I'm going to give you three things to focus on in 2018. Sound good? I said I'm going to give you one thing, and I'll kind of summarize the three things I'm going to give you into one thing, one resolution for 2018, unpacking it this way. First of all, I want you to remember this, that God knows you. Okay? God knows you. Now, God knows you better than you know yourself. There's a lot of things about yourself, and I'm including myself now in this, that you don't even understand. You don't understand the things that you think sometimes, you know? It's like, how could I think that? What's going on in me? You don't understand some of the things in your life that make you anxious and make you worried. You don't understand all the temptations that confront you, unique to you, different for all of us. But God does know you. I mean, He knows you. Talk about transparency. Everybody wants transparency. Well, I'll tell you what, God knows you. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. God is above time. He's eternal. And what that means is eternality means that He sees the future as well as the present. I mean, the future might as well be the present to God. We're bound by time. One day we'll enter into eternity with God Himself, but He knows your future and He knows everything about you. That's what the psalmist says. Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. Behold, Lord, you know it all. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't attain to it. It is knowledge that's wonderful, isn't it? That God understands you. Some of you say, no one understands me. I don't understand myself. Or we say to others, you can't understand what I've been through, what leads to my troubles in my life. No one understands. Well, I have one who does. His name is our God Almighty. God understands you. God in Scripture is omniscient. omniscient. It's one of his attributes, omniscient. We're not omniscient. Omniscient means all-knowing. God knows all mysteries. God knows all possibilities. God knows all secret. God knows all wisdom, all knowledge, all eventualities. There's nothing that God doesn't know. He's all-knowing. He's God, and he knows you. Now, that's a comforting thought. That's a comforting thought. It's also a scary thought. You mean there's no secret between God and... Listen, you don't have any secrets. God knows them all. Lewis Berry Chafer was the president of the seminary that I went to for training in the ministry, and he had a great quote. He said that secret sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. Something to think about. Frightening that God knows everything about me. He knows my foolishness. And all the scripture even says that. Psalm 65, verse 5. Oh God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. He knows your folly, your foolishness. He knows my sin. He knows my weaknesses, my strengths, my temptations. He knows my situations, hang-ups, habits. God knows it all. So I want to encourage you, be transparent in your relationship to God in 2018. He knows everything about you, so talk to him that way. You know, sometimes we're reserved. We're very reserved with people. We're always presenting our best to people, other people. We put on a facade. We act like we have it more together than we actually do. I don't know if our neighbors are here today. If you are, don't raise your hand. But, you know, it's like we're in this, I don't even know what day it is, you know, because we're coming off of Christmas and it's like we're in this middle time, right? And anyway, I'm out front doing stuff with my pajamas at 10:30 in the morning. And I'm like, I see my neighbors and I'm like trying to hide, you know, like, get inside. You're in your jammies. And I was raking. It's like, what are you doing? What am I doing? I should be showered. I should be all cleaned up and in my work clothes, you know, and I'm in my jammies. Anyway. They were nice jammies, by the way. We had matching jammies. Does anybody else get matching jammies? That's the thing. That's the thing now. All right. But we don't want other people to really know us. Really know the secrets of our hearts and our mind and our temptations and all of that and our foolishness. We don't want others to really know that. And so we hide. But listen. All of that's wide open to God. He knows it. So be intimate with him. That's what I'm saying to you. Be intimate with God. I mean, make a practice in your life of confessing. You know, confessing is agreeing with God. That's what the word means. You know, Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and he was our substitute. He took your place on the cross. He paid for all of your sins. They're paid for. You're free. It is finished. There's nothing that stands between you and God. Confession is just our opportunity to be intimate with God and to be honest about ourselves. It's helpful. Confession isn't something that's necessary in order to be forgiven. You're already forgiven. If you've come to Christ, past, present, future sin, they're wiped out. Jesus' blood, shed blood, precious blood of a lamb. Jesus Christ washes you. But when you enter into confession, it's good for your soul. It's good for you. Oh God, I can't believe the motives of my heart. Thank you that Jesus died for them. God, I can't believe I get angry. Nobody realizes what a beast I can be. But you do. You see it all. And God, you understand it all. You know me. You just know me. You know, when I sit down, when I rise up, when I lie down, you know the thoughts in my mind. And so, God, I'm thinking thoughts, and thank you that Jesus paid it all, and I'm free in him, but I just want to be real honest with you. Listen, that's healthy for you spiritually, and that'd be something good for you to do in 2018. He knows you. He knows you. Allow him to know you. Allow him to know you. Invite him. So that you personally are saying, God, just, here I am. every part of me. Don't hide from him. In Psalm 56, verse 8, I love this. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Every tear that you've ever shed, God has collected, God has seen, God knows. He's aware of everything that you're going through and will go through. And so, know him. You know, another application I think of this that's comforting to me is that God knows your childhood. You know? I mean, he knows who your parents were. He knows if your parents weren't there. He knows if you went through things in your life, sexual abuse or verbal abuse, or he knows all about that stuff. You know, I mean, God's aware of that. And why do I say that? Because God knows the effect that's had on your soul and your life and your temptations and the way you think of yourself and all about, he knows all of that. He knows all of that. And God is a great healer, you know, with his love. And in knowing all that, he has compassion on you. I love Psalm 103, another one of David's Psalms, where it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so God has compassion on us. He's mindful that we're dust. He's mindful that we're human. And as humans, we fail. We have weaknesses. But he's compassionate towards you, and he knows all the details of what you've been through, which is unique and different than what somebody else has been through. And we've all been through things. But understanding you completely, he understands why certain things are tough for you. And God is compassionate about that. He's compassionate. And it's great he knows me that well. He knows you. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. And so he can also lead you. There isn't anything that you're experiencing in your life that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't experience when he was in his human body on earth. Jesus Christ, Scripture says, was tempted in every way, yet without sin. And so he's able to come with compassion and mercy and help to those who call out to him. He gets it. He gets it. Because it's hard. Some people don't get it. They don't get you. They don't get you. God does. God does. So you're going to grow in your intimacy with God in 2018. He knows you. You're going to know him more, all right? Secondly, here's a great truth. God is with me. We're going to remember this in 2018. The psalm goes on. Not only does God know me, it's amazing that he knows me and would still want to stay with me. He does. Where can I go from your spirit? Sometimes you just want to run from God. Want to run and hide. And he'll have no part of that. Because he'll never leave you and never forsake you. And there's nowhere you can go on planet Earth or in heaven or Sheol, the depths. There's nowhere you can go to get away from him. Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the depths, the grave, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And your right hand shall lay hold of me. This is amazing. It's talking about God's omnipresence. He's everywhere. The omnipresence of God is that God is everywhere at every point in space. Listen to this. Every point in space with his whole person at the same time. That's hard for us to grasp because we can't be in two places at one time. You're occupying a place. You're here. You can't be there. Some of you are trying, and that's why you're so anxious. You know, you're so worried. You try to be too many places at the same time. God is everywhere at every point in space with his whole person. It's not like part of God is at church and the other half, you know, is across the world or something like that, or you can split it. God is everywhere present with his whole person. You're in the car, he's there. You're at church, he's there. You're making dinner, he's there. You're talking to your son or your daughter. Are you feeling, you know, lonely? He's there. He's there. And you may feel lonely, but you're not alone. Because our God is there. He's present. Jonah tried to run from the presence of God. You read in the Old Testament story of Jonah, God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, and preach against it. And Jonah was afraid that if he went to Nineveh, he hated the Assyrians, and if he went there and preached, they repented and they were saved, and he doesn't want them to be saved. So he went down to Joppa, a port city, got on a ship, and headed towards Tarshish, the farthest westerly port from where he was supposed to go in the known world, and a whale came along, a big fish, it says, and swallowed him up. He repented, and the fish spit him up on dry ground, and he went on and did what God told him to do. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run from the presence of God like Jonah, but he finds you. God appointed, in that story of Jonah, he appointed the fish, appointed a storm. He knows. So again, comforting, isn't it? God is everywhere. Scary, though. Listen, he knows everything about you, every detail of your life, and he's promised to never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that great? Isn't that great news? People, how many people have got to know you and then left? I mean, we're all, people get to know you and then they don't like you anymore. It's like, that's what's wrong with us. We long for someone to know us intimately, our failures, our sins, our temptations, our mistakes, our failures, somebody to know us and be committed and love us and never leave us. That's our great God. If I take the sunshine in the morning and go to the remotest part of the sea, there your hand will guide me. It will hold me. It will lay hold. This is our God. There isn't anything that's going to happen or you're going to do in 2018 that's going to keep God from loving you as much as he does right now. Jesus shed his blood, gave his life on the cross to forgive you, forgive me. If God is for us, who can be against us? And God is for you. Nothing will separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you do. Nothing's going to change that. And this becomes the joy of our life. This becomes the security of our life. You know, what are we going to go through in 2018? What's going to happen? You say, boy, I hope it's not like 2017. This was a rough year in a lot of ways. The Tubbs fire, all the sort of upheaval in America that we all feel, strife, conflicts, and all that. What's going to happen? I mean, kind of ready for 2018. You know, the 49ers are looking better than, you know, Warriors are going to get another championship. So some things are encouraging. But really, 2017 behind us, what's going to happen in 2018? You know what? It really doesn't matter. Because God, who knows us, is with us. He's omniscient. He has all knowledge. Which means that in Jesus Christ, you have all the wisdom you need and the knowledge that you need in him, through his word, through the truth of his word for 2018. Lewis Berry Chafer, who I mentioned to you, that one quote, another one, one plus God equals a majority. I like that too. One plus God equals a majority. There isn't anything that you're going to face. So don't be fearful. We're not fearful for 2018 at all. Say, oh yeah, what about my job? What about finances? God's a great provider and he loves you, cares about you. He's a provider. You'll say, oh, but would we have trials in our life and struggles? And my goodness, we had the fire, and what if there's an earthquake? You know? Should I get earthquake insurance? Am I stressing you out? Sorry about that. I don't mean to stress you out today. I go through it too, you know, and I can empathize with you because we're just, you know, it's our sort of our default is to be fearful. Our default is to take control and to go after it, get it done ourselves. And the scriptures are here for us to be comforted. Our great God has it. He has it. He has it under control. Our great God knows the future. He's not leaving you. He's not leaving you. He even told his disciples the night he was betrayed and would be arrested. He told his disciples, I'm leaving you. That is the death, the burial, the resurrection, ascension. But I will come to you. I won't leave you as orphans. And he sent the Holy Spirit to abide with them. God's presence through the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, and I'll be with you and I'll be in you. Just as I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, I'll be in you. I'll comfort you. Spirit will guide you into all truth and direct you and lead the way. You say, I don't know what to do with some big decisions in my life. Listen, God does. And as you're transparent with Him, as you lay your life before Him, He'll guide, He'll direct you through all the decisions you have to make. Some pretty tough things have to go. He's there. Go tell the good news, Jesus told His disciples right before His ascension. Tell the good news. Baptize people. Teach them everything I've taught you. And lo, I'll be with you. You know, I'm excited about what God's going to do in your life, in our church this year. I'm really excited about that. And what I'm really excited about is the fact that He, the Lord, is with us. He's with us. He's among us. I mean, when you gather and you're in your small group and you're leading a ministry, whatever you're doing, He's with you, empowering you, strengthening you. As we think about plans for the church in the future, the Lord will tell us. He'll tell us, lo, I'm with you always. Even there, no matter where I am, your hand will lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. And then God loves me. God loves me. He knows all about me. He's never leaving me, and He loves me. Could there be any better news than this? The great God of heaven who created you, He loves you. He loves you. It's going to be a good year because we got our hand in His, and we're walking with Him. And He's walking with us. Look what the psalmist says. You form my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. How well does God know you? How omniscient He is. He knew you when you were in the womb, David says. God, you formed me. My inward parts, literally, you formed my kidneys in the Hebrew language. And you knitted me together when I was rolled up, mother's womb. When I was a little embryo, rolled up, you were knitting me. You were fashioning me, God. You know, you are one of a kind. There's nobody like you. Your personality, your gifting, your talents, your intelligence, your abilities, skills you have, the things that make your heart race and things you love, God's fashioned you. You're His creation. I praise you, David says. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. You're a flat-out original. Max Lucado said it this way. When God made you, He threw away the mold. There is nobody like you. Among the 6+ billion people in the world, there's nobody exactly like you. That's why when you turn on your phone, you can use your thumbprint. Because you got, that's it. Interesting. Works for me. You try my phone, you won't get it open because you have a different thumbprint. You know, you have a different walk. Your walk is different than everybody else's. That's why we can tell who's walking down the hallway at home. You know, here they come. We know your gait. We know who just came in. I mean, you have a unique personality. You have literally a unique heartbeat. See, passion from God that He's given you. And so we want you to, and He, I know, wants you to be you, because if you're not you, there is no you. We just need you. And God has formed the church family in such a way that He's gifted you. Once you come to know Jesus as your Savior, He gives you spiritual gifts on top of your talents, abilities, and personality. He gives you spiritual gifts, gifts given by the Spirit to minister to other people and build up other people. That's the point of spiritual gifts. The family of God, look around you. God's brought this community together to encourage you, for healing, for you to be used by God and see other people's lives build up. I mean, it's just the family of God. It's a great thing. And if I can give one more plug for Growth Track, I will unashamedly. Get into Growth Track, because we want you to be going and using your gifts, all right, as God has given them. I praise you, fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows it very well. But not only that, God loves me, and this is how I know. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them? If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. God, you, two ways to look at this verse. And I read commentaries on the passage, and you can go one way or the other. One way is to see it that David is saying, I'm amazed at your thoughts, God. Like the things that you think about, God. There are so many things and I'm amazed at them. Like Psalm 119, David praises God for the scripture, the truth, the revealed will of God. And David loves God's word, God's thoughts in scripture and such. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, and other commentators go this way, that God thinks about you. So what he's saying is, God, I'm amazed that you think about me. Either way you go, I think it's encouraging. But let's take the second now. When somebody comes up to you and says to you, hey, you know, I was thinking about you. Doesn't that feel good? You know, usually we say, what were you thinking, you know? And we like when people say, I was thinking about you. I was just wondering how you were doing. You were on my mind. To think that God never has a harsh thought towards you. He's thinking about you. You're on his mind. That's love. That's love. You know, two people are in love. I mean, they're thinking about each other all the time. It's just, if I were to count the number of thoughts you have towards me, God, it outnumber the sand. You love me. You love me. So here it is. God knows you. God's with you. God loves you. We're going to be okay in 2018? Yeah, we'll be okay. We're going to thrive 2018 because we have one resolution, one goal. We want to know him the way he knows us. And we want to be conscious of his presence as he is there. And we want to love him as he loves us. That's all. Everything else comes together when that's the case. The end of this psalm, and I leave it to you to look up, but the end of the psalm, David says this. He says, search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in your way everlasting. That's how the psalm ends. Search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in your way everlasting. You see, what David does when he gets to the end of the psalm is what I want us all to do. Is we say, God, you already searched me and you know me. I'm inviting you to. I'm not hiding from you. I'm not playing games with you. I'm just saying, God, bring it on. And you know my thoughts from afar. You know what I'm thinking about. You know what I'm fearful about. You know what I'm worried about. So God, know my anxious thoughts. Come on. If there's any hurtful way in me, you know the path I take. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You know where I am. You know where I'm going. You know what the direction of my life is. God, you love me. You created me. If there's any hurtful way in me, then lead me in your way everlasting because you love me. See? So God knows everything about you. All we want to do is, and he loves you. All we want to do is say, we want to know you. Go ahead, God. Go ahead. Work in me. I'm humble before you. I submit to you. Remember this, 2018. God knows me. God is with me. And God loves me. Let's pray together. You may be here this morning and you came at Christmas time in one of our services. And so this is all new to you. And maybe you've never heard the good news that's been presented over these last couple of weeks. The good news is that God loves you. He formed you. He's the one who created you. Even in your mother's womb, he created you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in order to give his life for the forgiveness of sins. We've all fallen short. God knows the secrets of our heart. We've all done things. God knows about them. Listen, if you've never come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've never said to him, forgive me, God, come into my life, then I want to give you that opportunity right now, just in your own way, where you sit. Just say, God, I want to know you. You know me. I want to come into my life. I want to know you, Jesus. And God, for all of us here, we're not afraid of 2018 because you're there. We're not worried. You'll provide. You'll direct us. You'll empower us. You're not leaving. You're not going anywhere. You're going to be with us. And so we trust you and we praise you. And help us to get to know you. Reveal yourself to us in this coming year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.